Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and I'm very excited about having Andrew Sherman back on the show. Andrew is a longtime member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 1999. That's right, all the way back to the last millennia. And he's not really that old, though. And he's a partner in the law firm Jones Day. He's the author of so many books, I have to have a wheelbarrow to bring them to the studio. He is including the Bible on Franchising and Licensing, and the title is Franchising and Licensing. Also, Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel. That's the last one. He's our good friend, Andrew Sherman. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Jim. I enjoyed being together at the U.S. Chamber recently. I saw us both on CNN. We looked pretty handsome, pretty thin.
How about, I agree. You know, someone came up to me the next week and said they saw me on C-SPAN, and I said, man, you got to get a life.
Yeah, I think we were on C-SPAN 9. It's like, it's like when Tiddlywinks is on ESPN 8.
Exactly. So is that like BBC 13 or something like that?
That's right.
No, it was a lot of fun, and I appreciated the good work that you did and the other panelists. We Andrew and I were a part of the Small Business Summit, the U.S. Chamber's Small Business Summit that they have every year. This is my third year to help them with that, and it was a lot of fun. Andrew, one of the things that I've been talking about now for a number of years, maybe 8 or 9 years, has been some research that I found that was conducted by somebody you may know, Ken Crozen. I don't know if you know Ken Crozen or not. But he conducted some research on how much more intellectual capital, how much more intellectual property corporations are leveraging than physical assets now compared to, say, 30 years ago. And it's almost an inversion from like 70-30 to 30-70. It's amazing how much this is converted. And when I talk to small business owners, when I travel around face to face with small business owners, I ask them these questions. Would you agree that you're leveraging more intellectual assets today than you are physical assets? More, the ratio has increased. That, and they always say yes. And you've been working on this quite a bit lately yourself. I'd like for you to talk to us about that.
Yeah, Jim, this is it's a big issue for me, not just as a lawyer or a professor or an author or a strategist, but as a citizen. You know, I still am of the position that while companies are doing better than they did 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, that we have, as a country, as a nation, and really as a planet too, you know, billions if not trillions of dollars of intellectual capital that sits wasting in a warehouse, wasting someone's in between someone's ears, wasting inside a corporate culture that is still filled with red tape and bureaucracy and politics.
Stuck in a folder in the back of a hard drive.
Yeah, and that's no way to drive shareholder value. That's no way to drive innovation. That's no way to create new revenues and profits. We have to do better as a nation, and so, you know, I have had a tradition over the last 10, 12 years of being on your Brain Trust of always talking about new books that I'm writing on your show first.
Thank you.
We spoke about the Road Rules book way before it came out, and so I feel a moral, ethical, and friendship obligation to talk a little bit about new book that I'm working on your show before anybody else hears about it.
My guilt acumen is working, I can see.
Yeah. So I've been working the last couple of months on a new book. It's going to be published by Amacom, who's done a lot of my work, American Management Association publisher, called The New Agrarians, Harvesting Intellectual Assets to Drive Shareholder Value. The book will be out sometime next year, and it focuses on how can we do a better job than we are doing at harvesting our intellectual capital And I don't care if you're a big company, small company. I don't care what industry you're in. This issue is pervasive.
Now, when you say harvesting, that presumes to me that we already own it. We're just not using it.
Well,
is that what you mean?
That's a big premise of the book, but also how do we grow it?
Yeah.
Better.
You know? How do we plant it and then nurture it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well said.
There are two things. One is innovation, and the other is execution on those innovations.
Precisely. So, the book title came from some parallels that I've been studying between our old agrarian economy.
Right.
The economy that my grandfather and your grandfather lived in.
I grew up on a farm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Andrew. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Fascinating stuff, as always, from our good friend Andrew Sherman. He and I will be right back. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. Sweet Baby James bringing us back. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and all the other things that are there at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to take the poll question while you're there on the homepage. It's on the right. Just click on the, look at the question, find the answer that suits you, and click on it and submit it, and we'll record your response and report back to you on that. And let me remind you who our guest is today. Andrew Sherman and I are talking about harvesting intellectual assets that you may already have, or developing those that you could be leveraging, some things that you've already innovated. Maybe you're just not maximizing those. As you know, Andrew is our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member. And we're talking about we're actually kind of pre-launching your book, aren't we, Andrew? This is a new book called The New Agrarians, right?
Absolutely. It's a book that'll be out sometime next year, published by Amacom.
Right.
And we are continuing in our wonderful tradition of talking about cool stuff first.
You know, Andrew, I grew up on a farm. And so did my dad, and as you say, our grandparents, et cetera. 100 years ago, 80 years ago, everybody was not very far. No one was very far away from some agrarian activity. And so tell us why you're connecting that using that metaphor for intellectual property.
I think that we've gotten away as a society from our agrarian roots in some ways that concern me. I mean, not just the old work ethic and long hours and the joy of planting things and growing them for the benefit of society, but you know, we've gotten away from understanding how to make things, and mm-hmm. and if going to be living as we will be in a knowledge based society probably for the rest of our lives and the next few generations, you know, knowledge can be cared for and irrigated and planted and harvested in the same ways that crops can.
Right.
I also feel that along the way we have not treated America's farmers the best, and by using this metaphor, I feel like in some way I'm paying tribute to their hard work every day, day in and day out, to make sure that our nation and our world gets fed.
Right.
So I feel really good about the book from that perspective as well. I do want to pay tribute to our America's farmers and see that there are lessons that we can all learn from what they face every single day.
Right, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I believe, Andrew, and I think this is what you're talking about, I believe that if we had the right kind of leadership on political leadership in this country, and I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat, I'm talking about the political class, if we had the right kind of leadership, the United States of America could own the 21st century with regard to alternative energy. And we're not harvesting, to use your term, and leveraging the full innovative entrepreneurial potential that we have in America. If we made a commitment to it, we could own alternative fuels in the 21st century for the world.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I think that the impact of social networking, the impact of the web, our ability to share ideas has gotten to a point now where it's, you know, it's easier than ever for us to do, you know, collective thinking and to, you know, mimic life on a farm, if you will, that where our connectivity is through these tools. Mm-hmm. But notwithstanding all of that, you know, great progress in technology, everyone can yakety yak about, you know, postings and comments and message boards, but if then there's no action,
right,
it's all just talk. And, you know, the farmers that I know, the farmers that our grandparents grew up with, they didn't just sit around all day and talk about stuff. They did things.
Less talk, more action.
Yes.
So what do you recommend for from a small business perspective? What do you recommend that we do?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to be done is take inventory. You know, many small business owners are so busy firefighting that they don't get a chance. You know, we've talked about this before.
Yep.
Working in the business versus working on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the time to work on the business, and so they're too busy putting out fires.
Making payroll.
That's right. And so we want to, you know, the book encourages owners of small companies to pull back a little bit and work on the business, not just in the business. Take inventory of some of the intellectual assets that you have. And I do believe that, you know, unless maybe you're, you know, a local floral shop that is just trying to serve the community, but even then you have some amount of intellectual capital, you know, your customer list, knowledge of the community that you have. How can you harvest these assets to grow your business? What, you know, where do you begin to identify the need for a second floral shop? But, you know, a lot of our America's mid-sized companies are sitting on just gobs and gobs of intellectual capital that go unharvested, and therefore shareholder value is under leveraged, and shareholder value is wasted and never accomplished.
One of the things that I've been talking about a lot on my show over the years, Andrew, and you've helped me with this, is getting small business owners to recognize, just the first thing we have to do is recognize that we not only have intellectual property that we need to protect and we need to leverage, but to actually realize that we're creating it every day, if not every day, at least every week. It could be a system that we've developed to deliver products to our customers. It could be the way we look at managing, you know, the organization internally. That's intellectual property, and we first have to recognize that we're doing that. And it's not just the big companies who have this. And I want you to address that when we come back after these messages. It's 10 Till. Andrew Sherman is our guest, and he and I will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Andrew Sherman is our guest, our good friend, a partner at Jones Day, a law firm, and he's headquartered out of Washington, D.C. He's the author of many books, including Franchising and Licensing, including Build Fast, Build Right, Grow Fast, Grow Right, and Road Rules, the last book. The next book is going to be called Lessons from Agrarians. Is that right? What did I didn't say it right there.
The New Agrarians.
The New Agrarians. That's exactly. There you go.
And harvesting intangible assets to drive shareholder value.
By the way, give us the website, Andrew, please.
Well, the website for our firm is jonesday.com. There is no website quite yet for the book, but we'll be talking about it as it gets closer.
There you go. Andrew, as we went to the break, I was talking about the fact that small business owners have a lot of intellectual property that they're not necessarily taking advantage of, and I worry that they're putting it at risk, that they're not protecting it as intellectual property should be, as a trade secret, if not a patent or a registered trademark or something like that. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, we talked about the process of taking inventory. The next process is figuring out how to protect what you have, and in that case, it would be good to sit down with a knowledgeable lawyer that not only understands intellectual property, but understands the strategies around harvesting that intellectual property. You know, franchising, licensing, joint ventures, strategic alliances, all the things that we've talked about before. Another key point that came up just before our break that I wanted to remind listeners to is that, like the agrarian society, these assets do not have an unlimited window to harvest. You know, if a farmer does not harvest his crops right in the proper window, then those crops will never make it to market, and they will waste. And, you know, the same thing applies, I think, to intellectual capital harvesting.
Yep.
You know, not all of these things will last forever.
And well, for one thing, if you're using it and you don't protect it, somebody else can steal it from you.
Yeah, well, that's...
And as we've talked about on the show before, some properties, some assets, intellectual assets, have a window of ownership. If you commercialize a process, you know, for more than a year before you try to patent it, you're foreclosed from patenting.
That's right. That's right.
So you got to pay attention to that. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I'm saying that they not only market trends, legal trends, you know, all of these things factor into a company's ability to properly harvest, and that's where, again, the agrarian analogy comes in. A farmer, in managing their harvest, they mess up a couple of key variables, and there goes the harvest for the year.
Do you think, Andrew, that this is what you're talking about right now could be the first spark of a franchisor's idea? They see that they're doing something, that they're onto something, they're doing it in their business, and they're saying, hey, this is working here, and I believe this could be replicated in other places without me looking over, you know, being standing there, you know, looking over everything. This could become a franchise opportunity. Do you think that's what we're talking about here?
That's exactly how it happens. I mean, you know, if you look at the thousands and thousands of franchise companies we have in this country, at some point the light bulb went off in their head that said, hey, you know what? I've got some processes, some systems, some brand, some know-how and show-how that others could benefit from and others could build businesses around. It's time to replicate these things.
And leverage that idea. And would you agree that most franchises didn't begin with the dream of franchising? They began just as a business.
Oh, God, most of them began that way. They had modest roots, and eventually, which ties into what we've been talking about at the break, the customer says, I want this in more than one place.
Right.
And so we've arrived at understanding that the demand exceeds what you're able to produce at that one or two unit that you own.
Andrew, I got 45 seconds. Wrap it up for us for this segment.
Well, I urge all small business owners to take better inventory and better care of their intellectual property assets, treat them the way that a farmer treats its crops. And we'll talk more about this as it gets closer for the book coming out. Really appreciate our morning together, Jim.
Me too, Andrew. Thank you for sharing these ideas, folks. You know, you don't just hear this from me. You hear it from folks like Andrew and others trying to encourage you to realize that as a small business owner, you have intellectual property. You create intellectual property. You own intangible assets that you're leveraging. Pay attention to that. Recognize it and protect those and leverage them. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.